The Canadian Opera Company is proud to present the world premiere of a Portia Cryptic. This is a black opera for Portia White. It's a new opera by librettist and director Howie and composer and conductor Sean Mays. Now, before we get talking to Sean, hi, Sean, we're going to, we found a historic recording of Portia White singing Think on Me by Lady John Scott. Let's give that a listen first. Isn't that beautiful, Adi?
It's stunning.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Radiant color.
Magical. Mm-hmm. And such a warm, soulful sound. Mm-hmm. We don't even need to talk about Sean.
No, we do.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good well. Morning. How are you?
Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you both for having me.
It's
an absolute pleasure.
Now, can you give us a rundown, a little bit of a history of Portia White and why you're doing this?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, incredible, incredible figure as far as, you know, Canadian, as a Canadian and Canadian music and
sure.
Canadian classical music, of course, African, Nova Scotian, and was born 1911, died 1968. So, you know, we're really talking about this very, very vast sort of time period.
Sure.
As far as the 20th century goes. And again, from Truro out east. Gets discovered in Halifax and makes the move to Toronto, and then from there has the springboard of this really incredible international career. But fascinatingly, again, is a figure that really isn't known by most Canadians,
right. Mm-hmm.
and really didn't even have the proper ability to perform on Canadian stages during her lifetime.
Wow.
And she moved back, and of course, as you can tell by her dates, you know, lived a relatively short life.
Yes. Yeah.
So a remarkable figure, and we're just so grateful to have the opportunity to be able to inject a little bit even about, you know, her life and her amazing uh-huh. story back into the consciousness of Canadian
right.
music lovers.
Now, her motto, I understand, was dream big, work hard.
That's
and
right.
I understand that she had to walk 16 kilometers every week to go for a lesson, a voice lesson.
You know, I mean, it's that sort of resolve, right, that we definitely see her whole life, you know, we see in her story. And we've been very, very fortunate as well to have a lot of opportunity to work with her family.
Oh,
as well.
Terrific.
And that's been, it's just been so special because, again, it's a reminder of how you're telling the story or you're, you know, you're reflecting, I should say, upon the story mm-hmm. of somebody who, you know, who existed, right? She was, you know, an incredible, amazing figure who did so, so much. And it's great to hear this firsthand from her people as well.
I'm curious, how did the title for the opera come about? I mean, it's a Portia cryptic. Obviously, the word Portia is in a Portia.
Yeah, that's right.
I Googled cryptic, and much as I would like to think it has to do with something obscure, how did you come up with that title?
Well, it's a fascinating story, and I think the you know, there's a lot of complexities within that, which, of course, we'll allow for our viewers to see as well. But I think the if I can distill the idea of it, it's really in exploring just we explore a lot of themes, of course, through her life and exploring how our lives and our paths are complex, right? And they there's so many layers to how, you know, how we do what we do and we get to where we get to as well. And certainly that was the case for her in her life as well, right? We talk this line, life is cryptic. And there's a lot of exploration about her life from that angle, but also, you know, just thinking about the existence of being here on this plane. Mm. The opera starts on the evening of her death.
Right.
And so it expands from there, and she enters into a realm where she gets fractured into three essences of her being, which
oh.
is the body, the soul, and the spirit.
That is cool.
Yeah, and that's the angle from which, again, as three women,
that'd
you know,
be a triptych,
singing.
Though.
That's yes, and very much that as yeah. well through the piece. We hit on that as
yeah.
well too. So yeah, right. so that's
now. How did you and Howie get together?
In terms of how we initially
yes.
met,
yes, and how did it come together with the Canadian Opera Company?
Well, it's so funny thinking back on it too, right? So Howie and I, we've known each other for years, and we the piece we we can initially connected on was we actually met, oddly enough, out in Halifax, out east. We met doing a production of The Color Purple out there when we did the first Canadian regional premiere of the show here at home. And so we met, and some short time later, you know, Howie reached out and he was like, I've been working on this piece for a while, and it's about this incredible figure in Canadian music. And I was like, oh, who? And he's like, you know, Portia White. And again, you know, even for me as a Black artist coming through the Canadian classical music scene, I knew little to nothing about her. Mm-hmm. And so I was instantly like, this is a story I've got to get on board with. And it has been so wonderful finding out about her story and sort of comparing it to being like, wow, you know, as someone who again has faced much of the same stuff, and I relate to her story very much as well as a Canadian, but also having to, you know, you do that work abroad and come back and sort of the recognition that gets tied in with that as well.
And the COC connection?
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate that, again, I think with the rise of the importance, as we've seen through the pandemic, of learning about stories that are being developed and happening. And, you know, the CFC got wise, of course, the story, and we were very fortunate to be able to forge a partnership and moving forward with them to do the premiere, which is
great.
Just
amazing.
Super, yeah, we're so many great folks over there that are they've been so supportive of the development of it as well as numerous arts councils as well. So we've been really, it's been a wonderful journey of seeing different collectives come together to support the work.
Well, speaking of those collectives, what about the collectives of different musical genres that you are using or employing in your composition? Yeah. What are they and why are you doing that?
Well, so one thing we discussed around in sort of telling her story, the opera does use a lot of her music. We do use a lot of the songs that she sang in her
terrific.
Life. Yeah, which is
great.
Really fantastic. So we use that. That's sort of the springboard of a lot of the music. And that was where we started when we started to develop the idea.
Okay.
And then from there, we sort of said, well, you know, if we look at this vast span of not only just the years of her life, but the years that since her passing, right? We're talking about 1968. So, you know, even from there, 50 years of the continuation of developing, you know, Black music, right? And thinking about, you know, if we were going to angle this story and say, how would she continue to reflect and look upon her life? There's so many angles from which we can explore a celebration of her Blackness through, you know, this musical tapestry.
And if she looked through the lens with you.
Exactly. And so we tackle that from so many angles, you know, not just in terms of what we would, you know, we say is classical music and different genres within there, literally, you know, classically, romantically, I would say. You know, even into modern and contemporary, but again, really across this, we have spoken word, we have R&B, there's influences of jazz and hip hop, and you know, so it's a really, really wide spectrum.
Fantastic.
that we saw across.
And what do you think is most important about what you hope people will take away from this?
You know, I've said many times, and I think my driving force through it is, even if a few people walk away knowing who she was, you know, that's the win for us, for sure, right? And it's so important. It's important for us as Canadians, you know, as artists, to have a knowledge of who the people who've come before us were, and to continue to think about how we continue to expand who that might be, right? And who we know that might be, right? We all know our histories can be selective, right? And so I think that's certainly what we found. And you know, I say that myself, right? As you know, as an artist in this realm, and being like, wow, what a moment for me to be able to discover who she was.
Yes.
And I really hope that people take that away too, because it's such a remarkable story.
It is a remarkable story.
Yeah,
it really
it's really, really incredible.
It's too bad there aren't any actual commercial recordings of her. That's a huge shame.
And you know, it's sort of revisiting with the family and stuff, we've had the opportunity to do a lot of digging, a lot of archival work as well, which is great. Yeah, and so that's been really special. Again, it's as you say, Adi, it's like you find these small moments of hearing her voice, right? And feeling the same energy that, you know, that audiences felt when they listened to her music when she was alive. And that's so special.
Well,
and yeah, it's really, really amazing.
Unfortunately, I'm not here that weekend, but Gina's going to be very lucky because
very
she will
excited.
Amazing.
How you bring her to life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We've been speaking with composer and conductor Sean Mays about his fascinating new opera, A Portia Cryptic, which premieres at the Canadian Opera Company and runs from June 14th to 16th in three performances only at the Canadian Opera Company Theatre at 227 Front Street East. For tickets, if there are any left, because you said opening is sold,
but we do have Saturday and Sunday, both 2 p.m. shows.
So check that. Go to coc.ca or call the box office at 416-363-8231. Sean, it's been a delight.
Thank you, Sean.
Likewise. Thank you both so much for having me.
Okay.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.